So in the last podcast, we're touching on the subquantum realm. And I think one of the things that has caused some of the greatest confusion about subquantum mechanics, if we accept a subquantum realm with repulsive and attractive forces occurring at scale factors we can't measure, that would predict a probabilistic wave function, particles deviating from the normal path due to interactions we can't measure. That would cause what we call superposition, where a particle could appear to be in two places at once, technically only because it is only in one place at one time. It is unknown the exact location until it's measured. But that doesn't mean its exact location wasn't already known prior to measurement. We just didn't know it. It was present and happening at each moment in time as the subquantum interactions cause particles to deviate from their normal path. Thus, the Schrödinger equation produced a probabilistic wave function that matches the reality we see. But I believe the biggest problem that we introduced with the advent of quantum mechanics was when we did the double slit experiment. Okay? Real quickly, with the double slit experiment, what we see is if we send a single photon or single electron through a thing with two slits, it has the potential to interfere with itself, where it can produce an interference pattern on the other side of two slits, meaning that some piece of it went through both slits. That tells us it's moving as a wave. Anytime you see a interference pattern, you can pretty much assume there is a wave in motion, a wave at play. That's what causes interference patterns. I'm not speaking out of my butt here. This is what science knows for a fact. So, we also knew for a long time that the act of producing an experiment and observing the results, if not done properly, you have the potential for the observer to impact the results. It's called the observer effect, and it occurs when the act of performing the experiment or recording the measurements in some way produces a different result than you would have gotten if there was no observer. That happens in the double slit experiment. The act of observing causes the interference pattern to disappear. So where some would gain insight that makes it very simple to say, okay, when we try to interfere or observe nature behaving naturally, it stops behaving naturally. So we've come up with a very complex entanglement, spooky action at a distance, quantum entanglement, due to what we already know will occur when you split entangled particles, when you produce a pair of particles through certain reactions, you know that one is going to spin one way, the other is going to spin the other way. It happens every time. So we are able to use that information to then say, oh, well, we know they're spinning in opposite directions, but we don't know which one or what direction they're spinning in until we measure. Then we know the other one. It's silly, folks. Come on. Okay? When we stopped seeing the interference pattern, that tells us the observer effect is at play. The results and the conclusions drawn from a faulty experiment have to be taken with a grain of salt. If waves of energy allow those particles to move and unabated would try to move in a sphere, except their momentum carries them in a forward direction that deviates up, down, left, right. But if our double slit experiment, instead of just using two slits, we have 64 slits around a semicircle, you know, a quarter of a hemisphere, and we send it from, you know, farther out, we would see different types of interference patterns that would give us a better idea of how the natural motion of that photon or electron would choose to move. And I believe we would find it would choose to move in all three spatial directions. So I believe that because we failed to take into account the observer effect, we came up with faulty logic. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? I do believe that there is superposition and tunneling and probabilistic wave function. I do believe that at the moment that we can observe a, at the moment of observation, we force the collapse of a wave function. So to that extent, yes, maybe there is some potential where the act of making an observation comes into play and causes something to visually occur. But I would say that the likelihood exists that there's more being read into this than really is happening. I believe there are hidden variables, and I believe that the hidden variables are the reason we have the potential to mistake the John Bell's inequalities as a law of physics, let's say. Whereas if the experiments are faulty, now I know, we just gave the Nobel Prize to some guys trying to prove the quantum state. I'm not saying that you don't necessarily collapse a wave function upon measurement, not counting the measurement problem itself, you know. But it makes, if we accept the fact conclusions drawn from double-slit type experiments may be faulty, and take it with a grain of salt that there may not truly be, there can be entanglement, but there may also be hidden variables. Think about it. Particles spin because they're set in motion. The moment we observe it, we know they're in motion. So to accept the fact that there are not hidden variables. Think about this. You're talking about two particles that are entangled. We know they're spinning in opposite directions. Okay? We don't know which one until we measure one of them. We measure one of them, we know what both directions are spinning in. Okay? If there were no hidden variables, okay, think about this for a second. If there were no hidden variables, what you're trying to say is that you observe one particle, and then some magical, godlike force causes a particle that was spinning in the other direction to completely change direction with no force acting upon it. Okay? It's illogical. And there will someday be experiments that can prove why it's illogical and prove it. We can have tunneling, which is a special case scenario of superposition. And superposition and a probabilistic wave function. However, there may not be spooky action at a distance. Just as we have dark energy and dark matter, okay, our best scientific paradigm comes up with an explanation that we can only explain 5% of the universe, whereas my theories explain 100% of it, and we eliminate dark matter and dark energy. This isn't much different. We've got unexplainable or unknown events occurring, and rather than throw them to mysticism and magic, let's try to stick with science and what science would tell us, regardless of the fact that science and the universe does not need to be intuitive. Common sense is not a reason for believing something, but there is observation. And we can rely on our observation and our senses to gauge the value of certain propositions. And when a proposition includes the ability for a particle spinning in one direction, because it has to be spinning, it's not just standing there not doing anything, it has to be spinning. It can't just magically change its spin. There has to be hidden variables. So when we start with that premise that there are hidden variables and then try to explore how to prove it, maybe someday, somehow, we can. So I believe that subquantum realm is potentially a big reason why we can't see gravity, and we'll explain that in our next one. Okay? So Have a good one. Cheers. Live long and prosper. May the force be with you. 42.